13 KYNS.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Playing politics with the jobs numbers, an anemic Labor Department report gets this reaction from GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney campaigning in Iowa.
The policies he believes in and the direction he's pulling will not make America stronger. If President Obama were reelected, we would have four more years of the
years, and the American people are going to say no to that.
I'm Peter Mary in Iowa City, Iowa. President Obama has a terse assessment of the jobs picture.
That's not good enough.
Mr. Obama pointed to the 30 straight months of job creation without directly commenting on the weak 96,000 September growth or the overall drop in unemployment because fewer people are looking for work.
We need to create more jobs faster. We need to fill the hole left by this recession faster.
The president spoke in New Hampshire before traveling here to another of the 8 battleground states that could decide the election. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Iowa City, Iowa.
The Haqqani. U.S. officially calling that network a terrorist organization. To CBS's David Mark,
there were fears that designating the Haqqani network as a terrorist organization would just further disrupt relations with Pakistan, which are now only starting to recover from the bin Laden raid of more than a year ago.
Today's warning from the Centers for Disease Control.
Don't buy small turtles from street vendors, from websites, from pet stores, or any other source where you may see them for sale.
Lola Russell with the CDC says those cute little guys can and do carry salmonella. More than 160 cases of infected humans in 30 states linked to pet turtles. Most of those sickened 10 years or younger. Fire in the state of Washington. The Highway 141 fire is threatening about 450 homes near the community of White Salmon. Sherry Mills with the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center says the landscape just north of the Columbia River is not firefighter friendly.
Steep valleys with drainages in between. We've got timber in there with a lot of grass and brush as well. I would call it rugged terrain.
Concern now is focused on high winds forecast for Sunday. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane. Isaac's legacy in Louisiana, lost crops. Here's WWL reporter Don Ames.
Most of the maple orange harvest in Louisiana's Plaquemines Parish is lost for the year.
We lost about 80% of the maple and only about 20% of the satsuma.
Now, the agriculture agent, Alan Vaughn, says the satsumas are more resistant to rough handling. Richard McCarthy with the New Orleans Farmers Market says okra, broccoli, the dark greens are going to be scarce for a while.
This is going to be a lean season before Thanksgiving. It's going to be lean.
He says most crops from flooded areas will have to be completely replanted. Don Ames for CBS News, New Orleans.
Leslie, weakened to a tropical storm, National Hurricane Center says top sustained winds down to near 70 miles an hour, but those forecasters say Leslie could become a hurricane again before making a swing past Bermuda. Dow. Down 8, S&P 500 up 4. This is CBS News.
I'm Professor Burke from the University of Farmers, where trial by fire is taken literally, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? Choosing an auto policy can be confusing. True. About as confusing as learning to speak dolphin. Luckily, we lay out your coverage options in plain English and never subject you to the terribly condescending manner in which dolphins communicate.
If you want answers about auto insurance, you want a Farmers agent. Find yours at Farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Coverage not available in all states.
What does hope look like? It looks like people with type 1 diabetes, whether diagnosed at 3 or 33, they hope for a future without worry. I'm Mary Tyler Moore, and I have type 1 diabetes too. The Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation is accelerating the crucial research that represents the hope for a cure. With your help, we'll find it. Please call 1-800-533-CURE or go to jdrf.org today.
The older you are, the harder you fall. But as we hear from CBS's Bill Whitney, social media may help change that. The unemployment rate for older Americans is lower than for the general workforce, but when they lose their jobs, it takes longer to find a new one. 57-year-old Lynelle Hopkins joined a new social network called Work Reimagined.
Finding all these other people who are having the same experiences, it's kind of been encouraging in a way. You know, I've sort of felt less isolated and discouraged with this process.
Sponsored by AARP and LinkedIn, the site allows older workers to build a presence in social media. No prison time for that artist convicted of criminal contempt for destroying documents and fabricating others in a lawsuit against Associated Press. Shepard Perry, the artist who created the Hope poster, came to symbolize Barack Obama's 2008 presidential campaign. He gets 2 years probation, 300 hours of community service. Prosecutors wanted prison. His defense said he settled his case with AP on unfavorable terms. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Not long ago, I went to Wells Fargo to talk about ways they could help with my business's cash flow.
It often takes 3 days or more for merchants to get paid from any credit or debit card transactions.
Exactly.
Well, we could set you up with a merchant services account where you could get paid as soon as the next business day for most transactions.
That was a conversation worth having, and a $100 reward for opening a new merchant services account made me feel even better.
Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. See banker for offer details. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Every so often, the stars are in perfect alignment. And during the Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Auto Sales Event, now is that perfect moment. For a limited time, get 0.9% APR on the Certified Pre-Owned Lincoln of your choice, which also comes with the confidence of our 6-year, 100,000-mile comprehensive warranty. The Lincoln Certified Pre-Owned Auto Sales Event, exclusively at your Lincoln dealer. APR varies by term. Not all buyers will qualify for Lincoln Automotive Financial Services and Mutual Financing. Take delivery from dealer stock at 10-12. See dealer for qualifications, limited warranty, and complete details. The state of Texas, the hours and hours of monotony that it takes to get across the state of Texas rival only second by Nebraska. But let me tell you, 85 is not fast enough.
California is number one in a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Bryce, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share, property, and casualty insurers in California.
Hello, well, how did you be?
More ribs, more chicken, more pork, more beef, more burgers, more onion rings, more potato chips, more beans, more fried green tomatoes.
Oh, how did you be?
More slaw, more gator salad, more house salad, more cob salad, more Caesar salad, and more calypso salad. More sodas, more brewskis, more lemonade, more iced tea.
Oh, how did you be?
At Oceans and Monterey, in San Luis Obispo, and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most predacious beef barbecue, baby.
Oh, how did you be?
And it's time for Who's What's is according to the Tribune, and here's what they say today. Our final history on September 7, 1812, the Battle of Borodino took place during Napoleonic Wars as French troops clashed with Russian forces outside Moscow. Although France won a short-term victory, Russia was able to ultimately drive out Napoleon's invaders. The battle was commemorated by the composer Peter Tchaikovsky with his 1812 overture. I remember all of that from history. There we go. 1996, rapper Tupac Shakur was shot and mortally wounded on the Las Vegas Strip. He died 6 days later. We're going to try one of these thoughts for today. Our thought for today, we have a great and difficult task, something perhaps almost impossible. If you only work a little at a time every day, a little, suddenly the work will finish itself. Tell that to the guys in the big house. Our birthday today, singer Gloria Gaynor is 63, actor Corbin Burnson is 58, model actress Angie Everhart is 43, actor Tom Everett Scott is 42, and actress Evan Rachel Wood is 25. I want to say happy birthday to them, but most especially to you, if it is yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting? You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course your local grocery store still carries Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roasting. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Altos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? You start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but brands people really want and styles people really love. Mike and the shoe show and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it look for you. The right people, the right place, all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade. So we've got Karen Beely from CalcoastNews.com, and here's Trudy Lovac. We're going to talk about Calcoast News a week in review. Now we have a large potpourri of unusual, weird news that happened this week. This was really an amazing week here in the Central Coast. But you have just come directly from the water board hearings down in South County. And can we assure you that?
And the hearing is actually right up the street from the studio here.
Oh, it is.
It's right by the airport.
Oh, it is?
On Aero Vista Lane, yes.
Okay. A lot of stuff's going on. I don't know what this means. A lot of stuff, isn't that? Well, that's where the Regional Water Quality Control Board is.
Yeah.
They moved to Aero Vista. That's why. I was going to say, you know, there's a lot of weird stuff out there on Aero Vista Lane right now. It's all kinds of everything, but that's where they moved there.
And so it's been very interesting. They've had Bill Toma was the lead witness for Wallace Group and the sanitation district. And interesting, I've not seen this before. When he was done testifying, he walked over to the prosecution table and proceeded to shake everybody's hand at that table before he walked out and left. That's an interesting change. For those who don't know, they're trying to go after the district for $1.4 million. And depending on how today goes, there's a very likely chance that criminal charges could be filed against John Wallace of Wallace Group and the administrator of the South San Luis Obispo County plant, and also several board members have been discussing asking state, like the Attorney General's office would go after them criminally. So this could have much more than just a fine against the district. But it's been very interesting to watch the water board and the district spar. And one interesting thing that I've found is the water district is just awful about complying to records laws. The California Public Records Act, they just basically ignore it a lot of the time. And you can ask for things and they don't want to show it to you, and you can go in and they don't want to give it to you, even though it's a little, I mean, something that is something like minutes of a meeting they refuse sometimes. So anyway, I guess the water board had requested the accounting for the district. So the district throws up this, instead of their actual audit, they throw up one page saying, we have no money, all this money is funded somewhere. And the water board said, wait a minute, we got a hold of your audits for 08, 09, and 010, and the other ones aren't done yet. And they said, you have an extra $5 million in an account that is not encumbered. It's not your capital improvement account. It's not something that's been put away. You just have $5 million, almost, at one point they had, 2 years ago they had $6 million. And they said, you have plenty of money to pay this without the ratepayers' money going up. Because the board has already talked about if they lose this, they're going to make the ratepayers pay for it. And he said, absolutely not. We've determined the water board. And the law school, their attorneys, the sanitation district's attorneys, became a little irritated and wanted to know, why that wasn't put into the minutes. And they said, we couldn't get this from or into the package of evidence. The judge did let it in, or the board let it in. But they said, you never responded to our request to give it to us. And I felt like, boy, they don't even respond to the water board. Now I can imagine them not responding to me. And another interesting thing, John Wallace was there. The two board members, Bill Nichols and Matt Guerra, were there. And Ferrara, Tony Ferrara, the board member and the mayor of Royal Grande, did not show up, but instead he sent a letter. To say, he said, I have my feelings that I'm going to some conference. But in his letter, he says that I was conspiring with the water board.
You are?
Yes. It was kind of an interesting, he blames the water board for telling me that Blake and Kacho Sajian both sent letters asking it for not to be fined. What he doesn't remember is it was on the board agenda in March, and they spoke about it at a meeting. In June is when I called. So many months later, this was something they talked about in an open meeting to the public, and he's claiming that they gave confidential information by telling me about it.
Can I just say this? And again, I've always said to you, Karen, if I thought, you've had the appearance of being in bed with the water board. If there's anything that I would say right now, Karen Bealey has done anything but look like she's in bed with the water board, in my opinion, in this whole thing. There's the issue of how much spillage there is, and of course, it's been speculated because there's been about 9 different versions of how much spilled, and you've dealt with that. But that and saying you have some kind of relationship with the water board, I think, is a little bit out there because that doesn't make sense to me. You, as in the position that you're in with what you do, that would make no sense anyway.
And I have called them. I did a records request for a letter they had. I have called them for a number of documents, and I do call them since this has happened. But when I was first writing these stories, I was actually getting kind of rebuffed by the local water board, but I'd say, I think this is going on. Oh, no, we've looked into it, nothing going on type things.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back before the spill. And so these are state regulators that are kind of saying what I said.
Right.
I said this 2 years ago. Now the state is saying, hey, we're going to fine you because this did happen. So I do like what they're saying. It does confirm what I have said. But, boy, I absolutely do not think this is some conspiracy between myself and the water board to get the district fined.
I'd be jealous. I always want to get a conspiracy. All right, so by the time you left, where was the head anywhere, or just kind of out of the
when I left, a state water board investigator from Sacramento was speaking. He was discussing why he thought the water board was, the sanitation district's administration and failure to fix certain things had caused this bill. One thing that I did not know was that sewage pumped into 11 different homes, not from outside, not like the rushing waters coming in. 40 homes had sewage come in, but 11 homes had it chewed out of their sinks and out of, right into their homes, out of their plumbing. Could you imagine?
Oh, wait, we talked about this last week. I can't do it again. No. And so the other was a tidal surge?
Well, there were some of the homes that were flooded with water. It was loaded with sewage because the sewage plant was flooding. So there was that.
We had tidal surge and geysers.
Could you imagine?
Oh, Lord.
It does have to hurt your property value.
You think? Okay.
And I'm going to go back. When I leave here today, I'm going to go back. This thing may go to 6 o'clock tonight. I was told it was going to be a half a day, and then they increased it to an entire day hearing. And from what I've seen, there's people waiting to speak. It's probably going to be a very long affair.
Okay, we have so many stories. Now, this turned out to be a very interesting turn of events about the murder in Orchid. And so it turns out that family members of the man who shot and killed his son on September 3rd accused the victim of sexual molestation, who was shot and killed by his son. So what was happening was the son felt that the father was molesting his daughter and others.
And I think with the daughter, the grandchild of the man that was killed, she said that she was molested, her two sisters were molested by their grandfather, and that she thinks the shooting could have occurred because her father just found out that this had happened when they were kids. And it does put a very big change in this story.
Crime of passion, eh? We have, let's get to some of the really important stuff we've got, because we've got so many.
The Cambria, I think, is interesting.
Let's talk about what's going on in Cambria. This is the murder suspect has sought help for the mental illness, and we want to go ahead and talk to us about that.
And yes, I had been told that this had been another young man off his meds when he committed the murder, if he did commit the murder. He is in custody. I have seen the report, the crime report, his booking report, and it does say that they suspect him of killing his brother. So and they say murder. They don't. It doesn't say killing. It says the more aggressive word murder in the paperwork, and which I have seen.
One of the things that you bring up is the fact that we've had six mentally ill persons suspected, accused of killing in the past 20 months. And we had like Christmas. We had the two women that were killed. In North County. I mean, there's just been
seven. There's been a total of seven. And we live in a county where very often, we're getting to a point where some of the years we're having more of the murders in our county have to do with this than anything else. And this, I don't think this was the way it was, 10 years ago. I did not see a lot of problems with mentally ill murdering people, but mentally health services have been decimated in our county. One of the things that's going on is, someone can apply for a grant. When that grant comes in, then you have to go through the Board of Supervisors to approve it. So let's say you apply for a grant, you get this grant, and then the Board of Supervisors instead, since most of the big winner in all of this has been Capslo, they have gone up almost $10 million. They're in $7 million of spending money. They don't have mental health services. And meanwhile, several of the agencies that have mental health services have been completely decimated. And in fact, there's a Adam Hill, who is dating someone from Capslo, and Patterson is on the Capslo board, repeatedly until this last vote, just kept voting for money to go to this agency that they have involvement with. This is the first time they have stepped down while giving more money. But other things they have just completely taken away. For example, veteran services. They help veterans. A lot of them have mental illness and drug addiction up in North County. It's called North County Connections. Adam Hill, he went in, he sent Adam Hill an email saying, you're giving this to Capslo. He said, since not you're giving it to Capslo, he said, we need our funding, and you have said some things about our agency. And he said, you're talking about religious beliefs because we do, I think, 5 or 10% of the thing with AA. And he said he didn't want to go because of a Christian relationship. And he says, but he said, do you, when the people from Capslo go in, do you say Jewish? When this group goes in, do you say Muslim? He said, why would that have anything to do with us? So Adam Hill, in the meeting, when they took their money away, called him a racist, homophobic, anti-Zionist. And then they slashed their funding. So, and remember community health centers. They do a lot for you. They have some mental health services, and a lot of the mentally health, ill people go to them for their medications and different things, they have been completely slashed by the county.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me try to do it this way. So let's start at the head and work down. So if you go to mental health in San Luis Obispo, and we've already seen some of the problems there, but that's a whole other matter. But if I go to mental health in San Luis Obispo and said I'm afraid of a danger myself or somebody else, which is the big signal, of course, that they're looking for, will I be cared for the same way I would have been cared for 10 years ago?
I don't know. I don't know exactly. I know we had other services available. You had counseling services. You had more medical services. And a lot of people are saying they can't get their medicines. And, for example, if you're on Medicaid, Suni, the woman that killed her mother in Paso, her family has been blogging on Calco's News claiming that they had gone to mental health services in the morning. They said they were too busy to come back at 3. And when they came back at 3, saying she's out of her meds, they said, we're closing. We don't have time to do it today. They're claiming mental health services completely blew them off. So you have person after person that's having trouble contending. But now back to the murder in Cambria. A 20-year-old man's body was found, and it appears to be 3 days after he disappeared. It was likely murdered then on that evening. I'll explain the issues with that. But first, the young man accused of the crime was his 22-year-old brother, Brandon. So Brandon is in and out of trouble. He's had an arrest for burglary. He's gotten in trouble for drugs a couple times. He's on parole. He calls parole, and his family said the parole agency here in the area was fabulous. They had a doctor, Lamont, call him back. They discussed this. It was discussed that he should turn himself into county mental health and try to get him moved to another county with better mental health services quickly. He gets into county mental health, checks himself in, saying, you know, I'm having problems. And this is the person that's been diagnosed mentally ill since fourth grade and was in special schools and often put in transitional homes because he was seriously mentally ill. So he goes in and he makes a comment to one of the workers that, you know, the person's got a big bruise on their face, and he says, you know, what does it feel like to get hit in the face? They call law enforcement, have him arrested for making the comment. He is then sent to Wasco because he's on parole and then to Tascadero State Hospital because he's so crazy and or so out of it at this time. And it's later determined that that wasn't a threat, but he spends 6 months. He gets out. He's worse than he's ever been. He's talking to himself. He's running multiple appliances in the house, which his family was finally told that's to keep the voices down. And he's heard voices in the past, or the sound in his head down. So this is someone that is seriously, seriously mentally ill and is now afraid to get help. He's not been taking his medication for a few days. The family said they knew that because you could tell you couldn't talk to him. So the mother goes to bed early. And when she goes to bed, Brandon and Tyler, her two sons, are down in a lower area near the back of the house. It's probably about 3 or 4 feet lower than the other rooms in the house. And the stepfather and a buddy of his named Chewy are out in the garage tinkering. I guess the father at some point went to bed, and then around 3 in the morning, a group of kids stop by. They honk out front. They walk down the walkway. There's a walkway between the house and the garage. People heard him talking. There was a girl there. No one's sure how long they stayed. And then about 4, he wakes everybody up because he's pulling the trash can from the front of the house where it always sits through the walkway to the back of the house. And his mom wakes up and says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Just go back to bed. Everything's okay." So the trash can's moved to the back of the house, and in the morning they get up, and you know, I was told that Brandon, since he's been out of the hospital, has done no cleaning. He doesn't help around the house. He just doesn't. He is down in the lower level where his brother and him were. He has taken an early morning shower. We're talking, it's like 7:30 in the morning. And he is mopping the floor. There's a love seat down there. And there's the cushion where Tyler sits is missing. They ask him, you know, and then Chewy says something to him. Chewy sees him first, and Brandon goes in to tell his mother, "Ty and I had an argument. I don't think he'll be coming back for a while." Then his mother goes out and sees the cushion gone and says, "Where's my cushion?" He says, "The dog peed on it. I threw it away." So the next day, nothing happens. The next day, he takes the trash can early in the morning. They hear him dragging it down the street. Well, his mother gets up and says, what in the world did you take my trash can? You bring my trash can back. You know, you don't take it somewhere else. And she's thinking maybe he did something like a burglary again and he's in trouble. She asks him, did you do something wrong? Did you have something in the trash can? And he says, I'll bring the trash can back. He waits till, you know, pretty late in the day when it's dusk. He brings the trash can back, lays it down, and starts spraying it out with a hose, and blood is just pouring out on the ground. They've also now found blood splatters on the love seat. So the family, she sits down with him and says, did you kill your brother? And he said, no, I didn't. But there are some odd things. For example, Tyler's friend, a couple of his friends would come by almost every day and run every morning. From that night on, he hadn't been seen in those 3 days. Nobody came by to see Tyler. They didn't get hold of some of the friends, and one of the friends reports him to police as missing. They tell him there's blood here, what's going on. The police show up that morning. They see the blood on the couch. They see the blood from the trash can. And they start looking for Tyler's body. They found him about four blocks away at Fiscalina Ranch Preserve in Mixon Retreat area. They arrested Brandon, and they asked him to do a urine sample. He stuck the thing in the toilet and put water from the toilet in there. Then they put in that was failure to cooperate, so he got him on that as one, or participate. Then they made him do a urine sample, and he did have drugs in his system, so they got him on that. And they also said they were holding him as being the suspect in the murder. But
the question begs to be asked, let me ask this question. So why, if you look at the kind of state this guy's in, Brandon, when he was released from the Tascadero State Hospital, let's say that's the last institution place he was, which was how long ago?
6 months.
Now, what did they determine that he was okay?
You know, mentally he wasn't okay, but he wasn't, the crime they had gotten him on, they determined in court he hadn't threatened her. You know, and he doesn't appear to be a criminal. He appears to be he's done criminal acts, absolutely. But he appears to be someone seriously, seriously mentally ill. In fourth grade, before fourth grade, he had real good grades, he played sports, just, you know, they didn't have problems with him. In fourth grade, he just started getting very strange. He'd interrupt his teacher, get out of his seat and walk around. Was having some serious issues. Then he stabbed himself in class. They called an intervention team. At that time, they determined he was he had bipolar disorder. Then later on, because of the voices, they decided he also had like schizophrenia A or something. And at that point, they wanted to put him in a home for a while to get him help. He went into a home, and one of the things that it did say in the paper, because I saw court documents on this, is that the family always visited. It wasn't like, you know, some people, they dump their children and it's over. This was a family that took all the visitation and saw him. He was in a special school, and the mother, he told his mom, I want to go to regular school my last year of high school. But she blames herself for allowing him to go into regular school. And she fought with the courts and fought with the system to get him in regular school for his last year of high school. And he was living at home for the last year or so of high school also. And she said at the time, mental health services was fabulous. It was a transitional care group. They would actually send somebody by in the morning, get him out of bed, help him think, you know, make sure he's taking his medications. But then he turns 18, and suddenly there's no support. And the family's trying to make sure he's taking his medications. And, you know, it became very difficult. But, again, that's when he wanted help himself. He said, I'm getting worse. I need help. I need to get in the hospital and get medication that works. And that's what he was trying to do when he got locked up while he was in mental health services.
Mm-hmm. Amazing tale. Brandon Hensley, talk about falling to the cracks. I mean, this isn't even a small crack. This is really a large crack at the age of 18 when he stops, being able to have services rendered to him. And, you know, any time you have somebody who, in my opinion, who's on the edge and they have to totally depend on medication to, you know, not go off the deep end, so to speak. But it's like, you know, having a loaded gun in the house. You have a potential problem no matter what, because it just means you miss your meds one or two times and then you're crazy.
And the other thing is, this is becoming a danger not only to the families, but to society. You had the young man in Atascadero who was very schizophrenic, couldn't get his meds. And one of the things some people don't know, when you're on the disability for mental illness, they don't want you getting meds early. So you can't get meds, I think, more than 5 days or something before you're going to run out. So if you're running out and it's a holiday, there's 40, you got a Christmas or something, and the pharmacies aren't open, you may run out of meds. And we don't have a lot of real good mental health services here. So he ran out of his meds and killed 2 strangers and attempted to kill another stranger. Then you have the man in Paso Robles at the laundromat. He walked in and stabbed a stranger 22 times. Somebody he didn't know. This wasn't a fight between two guys. This was another someone very, very ill going after someone. The others, the young man in Los Osos, his mother was so desperate to get him help that she actually wrote the Board of Supervisors a letter not long before she was killed, asking them to put more money into drug and mental health services. And then, her son attacked her, and she died about, I think, 2 weeks later. Then you have the...
Because the guy attacked his mother in San Luis.
Yeah.
Another guy in San Luis, but didn't see same thing.
Yeah, the San Luis and one of the ones. We've had a lot of seriously mentally ill people having trouble getting the right help in our county, and I think it's something that does need to be looked at.
Here's the thing. It's hard to know, though. But now you're giving the impression that Hensley's were very concerned about him when he was in this. He was committed to a place, and that they went to visit him, on a regular basis. So it sounded like people. It sounds like they were people that cared about what was going on with him. I'm concerned that the lack of mental health services we may have suffered because of financial cutbacks can tie in with the fact that some people don't, they just cut them loose. They cut, somebody that's a little wacky in the brain, the family just sort of cuts them loose and says, okay, we don't have anything to do with them. It's easier.
And I think in a lot of cases, they do. I absolutely do think they do. The other problem here is county mental health is very, very problematic for assaults, allegations against workers hitting the patients, also patient-to-patient assaults. There's a number of lawsuits currently. The one woman that was beaten, and then there was another woman sexually assaulted. And I get calls regularly from people that work there saying, so-and-so just hit somebody, this worker there. People are afraid of, are becoming very afraid of county mental health. And Brandon Hensley's mother has mental health issues. She's been suffering mental illness for many years, and she is at times out of it right now. And she is petrified that someone's going to try to lock her in there and she'll get hurt, or she'll never come out, or they'll find some reason to arrest her, because she is. I find it odd when you have somebody with mental illness, so you say, okay, they're mouthing off, so let's get them arrested. Does that make sense? I mean, I think that you would think in this that you need to have a facility that understands these aren't people that are doing okay. These are people that are here because they do have a mental illness. And do we want everyone then going to a Atascadero State Hospital at what, $250,000 a year on the taxpayer because we can't take care of it in a smaller, less expensive way?
Aaron Haley, CalcoastNews.com, Week in Review. We're going to take a break and come back after these words.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter what the price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful user-friendly and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. And they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccsoo.com. People in the business are letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
Dutchman's Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero has been totally remodeled. There's a new look throughout the restaurant, including a great bar area with plenty of room for you to hang. What I like the best is what the Dutchman's new farm to table chef has created, a new menu that features fresh seafood. It starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock, and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. It's the only way to eat. At Dutchman's Seafood House, you will enjoy waterfront dining, creative cocktails, a nice selection of reasonably priced wines, and a tempting variety of entrees featuring seafood, poultry, beef, salads, and award-winning clam chowder that's guaranteed to satisfy your hunger. When you walk into the Dutchman, you'll find an inviting bar where weekdays we offer special happy hour pricing from 3 to 6. Formerly known as the Flying Dutchman, you'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. And just hope he doesn't take me to some place I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there. You ready for lunch?
Sure. Where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
It's the same old thing for lunch over and over and over. It's driving you crazy. Stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos. Your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their peace and love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions, even their most popular, the Thai Ahi salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
We could get to the story where the monkey attacked the owner, but we won't. We'll get some more reports on that. I'm going to tell you this, though, seriously, and I mean this, I'm serious. If anybody has seen the pictures of the man who was attacked by that chimpanzee and the woman in San Francisco attacked by the chimpanzee, if you had seen the pictures of those people, you would not be within a million miles of a monkey of any kind ever. I mean it. They're just vicious. And it's like, whoa, I'd feel safer having a wolf in a house than all this sort of semi-domesticated wolf than those chimpanzees. Anyway, let's go to what's going on. We have a murder report being solved, and this is in Templeton, and I'll have you talk about that.
And for those who don't remember, Mr. Greer was somebody walked in his house, shot him several times, and killed him, and it's really not gone anywhere. And the son is speaking out and claiming that, you know, he's claiming that the sheriff's department did not do a great investigation. He says that there's been three or four changes of lead detectives on it, and every time it changes, they come back to interviewing, doing the same thing, interviewing the family, kind of making the family suspects. And he had called someone from Atascadero, had called him, and said that, you know, she knew who had murdered his father, and he had given the information to the police department, you know, more than a year ago, and they just called him back and said, do you have that phone number? We think we wrote it down wrong, or you gave it to us wrong. And he said, I don't have it anymore. It's been a long time. I didn't realize they hadn't followed up on it. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, too, that the family is kind of turning on one another also. And the father had left his estate to his son and daughter, and after the killing, the sheriff's department turned the house over to the brother, who the children sued for taking the father's things out of the house. So it's kind of an interesting thing, but the brother said the father usually kept a substantial amount of money in the house, and he said it was there. He said,
it was there when?
When, after his father was killed, the money was still there.
So who had the money? Who has the money? Who does he think has the money?
Well, no, he got the, I think the children got the money.
Oh, okay. The cash was there.
They said that the cash was still in the house. The father was going to keep hundreds of thousands of dollars. He said it was there. So what is, you know, what was the motive for this murderer to go in and shoot this man in his bed? But he was known to keep a substantial amount. The house was not messed up. It wasn't like someone rifled through looking for it. It's really an odd case of why this happened.
So it was like this guy was, I'll use the term, like assassinated. He was just killed.
Yeah.
For the sake of him being killed. And robbery's not a motive here.
But he said the person that called him said it was a group of people from Atascadero with robbery. Maybe they got spooked. Maybe they heard something. Who knows? But when the brother got there and found the body, I guess they were supposed to look at a tractor or something. Or tractor parts, and the back door was wide open, the front door was locked, he wasn't answered, he went back and went in the back door and found the body.
Now, here's another thing, too, though, and I'm going to put this out there. The sheriff's department, and I never know why, I don't know enough about how the sheriff's department works, and why they put this detective in, and switching this thing and all that, but I know that one of the things that they do is, and it's too bad for the family, but that's the way it is, you know. The people, the family members become the very first suspects anytime there's a murder, and that's, I don't care what it is, kids, man, woman, wife, husband, it doesn't matter. The family becomes the first suspects, and my impression, and not from watching TV because I don't watch those shows, but my impression is that they will browbeat them, you know, with interrogation to try to see if anything's going to change or if any fact that they said at one point is going to change when they say it again. And that's one of the unfortunate parts of being, a part of what happens when you're a relative of a murdered person.
I do think that's true. I think that they usually go after the family first. Dan Lambert was telling me that every time this guy's even claiming they're surveilling his house again. But every time it becomes a new lead detective, he is suddenly even being watched. And why watch him? I mean, what would happen?
And he was in a different place.
I know he works at Soledad Prison. I do not know where he lives.
But he's saying where he lives there.
Yeah.
But does he live in the same house?
Not with his father, no. I don't know where he did not live with his father. He is a prison guard at Soledad. But it does seem interesting that he is very, you know, he wants more investigation. He wanted them to look at everything and not just the family is what he's claiming.
Well, I would imagine they are. I can't imagine just going to say, okay, we're going to finally beat a confession out of one family member and then we'll be done with it. But I feel bad for family. I think about it, something happened and all of a sudden you become a suspect because you're close to the person, and that's how it works, because so often they're correct. You know, so often it is the person that they're closest to that does it. I look at Peterson that just got found guilty, and look at the shots that took. So, I mean, it is possible, you know, that can be the situation. So I just think that I feel bad for family members that have to go through this, but this does not seem out of the ordinary to me from what I've ever heard of investigations.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about some other things. First off, if I was a drug smuggler, I'd use anything but a tango boat because everybody's wise to them now. Everybody knows what the tango boat's used for.
Well, you know what I think they do is they do it in very, they do it through the night.
Yeah,
and they sit very, very low in the water.
Right.
And you almost would not spot one. I saw something looked like one of those a few weeks ago, in Cayucas early in the morning, and saw a boat going by, and you could hardly see a boat that time of morning. And this was, they were unloading at 6:30 a.m., so it appears to be something that they just, I don't know how long it takes to get here from Mexico, but it appears to be something they do in the dark. They stay fairly close to the...
Take a few days, I guess, but not, you know, not go that long. Yeah, come from Mexico. Because you figure, if you're going on a cruise to Ensenadas, and that thing goes slower than these penguin boats would go, they can get from L.A. to Ensenadas overnight.
And these are supposed to be actually fairly quick. If you look at some of them, they'll have 3 or 4 engines on the back.
Yeah.
But they're actually considered fast boats. And one interesting thing, I think the department did a really good job. They had helicopters out there fairly quick from the CHP. They were able to spot the boat. They found witnesses who said they saw people carrying things onto the beach, what kind of vehicle they were putting them in. They then went around and collected the different people in the vehicles. And they had 14 when they first sent out information on the smuggling operation. And by the end of the day, they had 20 people in custody. Now, Homeland Security is taking over the case, and they're supposed to be transporting today the 20 suspects to the federal holding facility in Los Angeles.
Now, how did they happen to catch these people? Somebody called
and said a tip and said, I see a panga boat. So they, CHP, Fish and Game, and Sheriff Department officials all became involved. The CHP helicopter spotted the boat. And then they talked to witnesses who said that they'd seen the drugs coming ashore and what kind of vehicles they'd taken off on. They very quickly got two of the vehicles. They got one in San Simeon area, very close to where this happened, and the motorhome where a lot of the people were. I think they had 12 people in the motorhome. They got it shortly afterwards. And there was also a white truck. I don't know if they, in the last press release, they didn't talk about the white truck. But they picked up 6 more people affiliated with this. And it's, I'm not... What is the amount this was worth? It was worth quite a bit of money.
I forgot. I'm sitting here. It was worth a lot of money. It was in the millions. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is
43 bales, total more than 3,000 pounds, street value of $4.5 million.
So I'm amazed that those panga boats can hold this kind of weight.
It's a lot, yeah, there's no question about it. Now, the fact that somebody that called in knew to call the panga boat leads me to believe that it could be a competitor in Big Sur, who's a marijuana farmer there. It's I got him.
This has been, I think, though, this is probably the 4th or 5th incident of a panga boat in our area.
It is, actually. We should all know what a panga boat is now and be on the alert for them, because you're right.
They're a very common fishing boat from the South America, Central America areas. They're fast. And they lay very low in the water, and they look smaller than they are, because you hear this mass quantity of drugs being taken off of them.
Yeah, and every time, you're right, it's like this huge amount of stuff, so they're very efficient at what they do. I brought up something that I thought was important, and that is, we got a lot of letters to the editor, we got a lot of people making comments on tacosnews.com. There's a lot of talk about, when they start the seismic testing, they're going to kill everything. It's going to wipe it all out. Matter of fact, Ann Calhoun had a letter the other day that said, here's what I don't get about the controversy over the sound tests off Diablo Canyon. Suppose they discover more earthquake faults. Will they dismantle Diablo? I don't think so. Would they strengthen Diablo against any possible effects they think might come from any discovered faults? Likely, but why don't you do it without having to do the testing? So there's a lot of skepticism about this whole thing, but my concern is, and I said this the other day on the air, my concern is, I think PG&E is going to do this the right way. I have no problem with it. I think what PG&E is, this part of it, PG&E is going to start off with low-level sounds, low-level noise, and work their way up, And I think they'll successfully drive whatever's around here out to somewhere else. The question is, will they come back?
Well, the report and the opinion piece in Calco's news, that's right from the EIR. Those numbers are not a guess by somebody. The EIR suspects that's how many animals will be killed.
Well, they said the worst-case scenario. That I recognize that they said that. But I'm going to say, as a thinking person, if I can annoy an animal and get it out of an area, gradually, I don't suspect I'm going to start killing them. I think they'll leave. You know, if you have a constant amount of noise, even if it starts at a low volume and works its way up, and you have a constant amount of noise, they're leaving. They're not leaving. They're not going to stick around and be killed by it.
Well, and I'm not sure. I know there's 500 acres of ocean area that they're going to be doing this in. And they say that in the past when this kind of thing has been done, this is, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of death. So this isn't, this is the guesstimate also going to what's happened historically.
Okay, that's very interesting. Okay, that's legit. Have they tried the same technique, or did they just start blasting? I mean, I would certainly imagine they would damage a whole lot of animals if all of a sudden they had this thing blasting away right from the get-go.
I think they're doing sound and then blasting.
Also, did they do it before in other places?
I've heard of blasting before to check, but often they do it also looking for oil. There's other reasons they do this also.
No, but what I'm talking about is that if in another circumstance when the animals were hurt, did they start with a low-level volume thing and work their way up?
I don't know.
Because I'm trying to get my head around this. I'm having trouble. Why would they be allowed to? Why would this kind of a death toll, if that's what I was talking about going on? I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Julie Tackle wrote about it. Why would they ever allow it then?
Well, see, here's what happened. The plant can take, and I can't remember exactly the amount of earthquake that the plant is supposed to be able to take.
It's an 8.5 or something.
And tsunami really isn't a big issue here because of the depth. Tsunamis occur when you have a shallow plate area. It's like shaking a bowl. Tsunamis in deep areas are, you know, they're very, very unlikely. We're not a big hurricane area, but they do have the earthquake faults. Well, they knew of the one, and the other one that's come up, they think is not going to have a real large, you know, from what they could find on it, it's never had a real large that type of earthquake. But they want it checked. They want to make sure that it doesn't, you know, that it's not going to go and have an earthquake. Now, one of the things that a lot of people say, oh, well, earthquakes, one goes off, they all go off. No. Earthquakes do not, they don't take turns. Earthquakes go, you know, the place they're moving underway, it gets stuck somewhere. And it relieves pressure when there's an area that's been stuck for a while and everything else has been moving. At some point, it kind of like spins and goes.
Right.
But it doesn't go then and hit another earthquake and another fault that's in another area or nearby doesn't go off.
I have to say this, and how lucky we are that it doesn't. To say the truth, I mean, you can imagine. You can imagine if you had a small quake on the San Andreas and then every part of the San Andreas that has some kind of a pressure point on it, everything went at one time.
Oh.
We're all gone. That's the end of that one. Well, we've run out of time for CallCoastNews.com. We can review. There's some really big stories, you know, and we'll have Karen back next Friday. We'll talk about more big stories. I know they're going to be happening this week. Don't forget to go to CallCoastNews.com anytime day or night, 24/7, to check on what Karen and the group have posted, because they're at it all the time. Karen, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
66,000 jobs created last month. That's disappointing. It's bleak. It's anemic. The president's take?
Today we learned that after losing around 800,000 jobs a month when I took office, business once again added jobs for the 30th month in a row. A total of more than 4.6 million jobs.
President Obama campaigning in New Hampshire and Iowa, Republican candidate Mitt Romney.
There's no question if they listened to the president last night, he gave them no confidence whatsoever that he has any plan to make America's economy start to create the jobs it ought to be creating.
Most economic analysts foresee some action from the Federal Reserve to spur economic action. Diane Swank, Messerville Financial.
This looks like it is a game changer for the Federal Reserve. Those people sitting on the fence wondering whether or not they had the preconditions to ease further now just got them.
Syria. No one yet claiming responsibility for a deadly bombing outside a mosque in Damascus. Monitoring from Beirut, reporter Raina Abuzaid.
A motorcycle bomb exploded as worshippers left a mosque in a northern suburb of the capital of Damascus. It's an anti-regime neighborhood. Unclear whether or not this was a suicide attack. The Syrian state media said that it was just that it was a quote motorcycle loaded with explosives.
Captivating story of Lieutenant Bradley Snyder continues to unfold. The latest from CBS's Larry Miller.
A year ago, Navy Lieutenant Brad Snyder was blinded by a Taliban bomb in Afghanistan. Now, exactly 1 year to the day later at the London Paralympics.
Representing the United States of America, Bradley Snyder.
Lieutenant Snyder wins the 400 freestyle swimming gold medal. Add that to another gold and a silver.
Hopping in the pool felt very organic, very natural, saying, hey, you're actually still good at something.
Lieutenant Snyder is one of 20 U.S. vets competing at the Paralympics. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Lance Armstrong being denied entry into the Chicago Running Marathon. Runner's World reports the decision, which comes in the wake of last month's U.S. anti-doping agency's ruling that as the world's top cyclist, Armstrong was guilty of using performance-enhancing drugs for more than a decade. He has said that, ban or not, his foundation will continue to participate in running marathons. Jurors who convicted Drew Peterson of murdering his third wife now talking about the time they spent together and about the testimony from his still-missing fourth wife, Stacy.
The hearsay testimony from Stacy, that was the biggest part about this.
One day, jurors all showing up wearing shirts with Chicago sports teams logo.
These guys spent more time in the jury room than the courtroom, and they say, hey, what do you want to wear tomorrow? And then it just grew from there. And the judge allowed us to wear the sports shirts.
Police officer Drew Peterson faces up to 60 years in prison when sentencing on November 26th. The Dow, up 14 points today. This is CBS News. Did you know that certain gold and silver coins can be added to your retirement accounts? It's a fact. For years, investors have been adding popular coins like the gold and silver American Eagles to their IRAs and old 401ks. More importantly, gold and silver have quadrupled in value within the past 10 years. Major banks and credible analysts around the world are forecasting even more demand for both gold and silver in the coming years. Isn't it about time for you to consider adding gold to your retirement accounts? When it comes to adding physical metals to your retirement accounts, no one makes it easier and faster than American Bullion. Call now for your free gold guide at 800-664-8864. Find out how to add U.S. minted gold and silver coins to your IRA and old 401k. Call the most trusted name in the industry today, American Bullion. 800-664-8864. Call for your free gold guide. 800-664-8864. Kids growing up without homes. How many?
1.1 million children in America are homeless, up 57% over the last four school years. Dr. Ralph DeCosta Nunez with the Institute for Children, Poverty, and Homelessness.
You're seeing actually a nomadic situation here. We're now creating young children who are becoming poverty nomads educationally, and they're moving around from place to place.
Nunez says the typical homeless family moves two or three times during the school year. The solution, he says, is to build affordable housing to help stabilize the family. Marley McCormick, CBS News, Dallas.
Authorities say it was due to a love triangle. The phone call to police that prompted the return to Philadelphia of a plane bound for Dallas, also prompting an arrest of the guy cops say made the call. According to a criminal complaint, Kenneth Smith falsely reported the passenger plane carrying an explosive substance. That passenger taken off at gunpoint. He had no explosives, but arrested on a couple of outstanding drug warrants. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
All is issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. Details at AIGDirect.com.
If you died tomorrow, would your family have enough to pay the bills? Or could they lose their house, savings, and dreams of a good education? You don't have to put them through that. Get Interim Life Insurance to provide for your family is fast, easy, and amazingly affordable. A 5-minute call to AIG Direct could save you up to 70%. Just listen to this. Less than $17 a month gets you a $250,000 policy. Now is a great time to get Term Life because some prices have dropped to their lowest rates ever. And AIG Direct has partnered with American General Life to bring you their lowest rates on Term Life Insurance. Find out how incredibly affordable Term Life is through AIG Direct. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes just a few minutes. And through AIG Direct, you could save up to 70%. Call 1-800-530-5994. That's 1-800-530-5994. 1-800-530-5994.
Hello, Central Coast. Charter Telephone is now available in your neighborhood. And now's the time to enjoy the savings for yourself.
Hello, simplicity.
There's no new equipment to buy. You use the same phone and phone jacks. And, of course, you keep the same home phone number.
Hello, savings.
Charter Telephone includes unlimited nationwide calling, so it's just as easy to call across town as it is across the country.
Hello, value.
Our plans come with 10 of the most popular features, including caller ID and call waiting. It's like your current phone service in every way, only better. And when you bundle Charter Telephone with Charter Digital Cable and high-speed internet, the savings only get better with one low monthly bill. So what are you waiting for? Answer the call. Charter Telephone is here. Find out more at charter.com or call 1-866-608-4134. Service is not available in all areas. Unlimited long-distance calling includes U.S., Canada, and Puerto Rico. Restrictions apply. Offer ends 12-3107. Call 1-866-608-4134 for details.
Country Oaks Care Center. Caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks. Owned and operated by John and Sharon Hitting. They're friends of mine. Very nice friends. That niceness shows at the 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. We offer physical, occupational, speech, mental, and ID therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual full participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hannings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for loved ones that you care about.
Yeah.
Somebody sing hello, hello. Somebody sing. Somebody cry, why, why. Somebody sing. Somebody sing hello, hello, hello. Somebody sing. Somebody cry, why, why. Somebody sing.
People my love. People my love.
Somebody sing. Somebody sing. Somebody sing. Somebody cry. Somebody sing. Somebody sing. Somebody sing. Somebody cry.
Smith Black Mazambo with Paul Simon, the exploiter of African music when he came out with LP, according to people at the time. Anyway, you're looking like a talk is cheap. This is news and commentary today at 1340 KYNS, your news station. It is 1:12 and 22 seconds, and it's supposed to be warmer this weekend as we go along, so the muggy should fade away a little bit here because we got rid of that, but this is going to be one that's going to be beautiful weather, really, for the Iwanari Festival and everything else that's going on in the whole wide world. We have the Iwanari, we have we got the festival in Cambria, and that's going on. There's so many things right there. All right, let's see what else is happening today. I'm going to share this with you because this is going to be a long 60 days, in my opinion. And then they have a story here about campaign scientists have a file on you.
CNN.
Radio.
Tens of millions of dollars, thousands of cheering delegates, dozens of speeches, a carefully crafted message, and a call to get out the vote. The Democratic and Republican conventions both were the end result of meticulous planning by both parties, all aimed at creating a memorable moment. But maybe not for everyone.
Everything we know suggests that nothing we saw this week is likely to have any impact in November.
None at all. That's Slate.com contributor Sasha Eisenberg. He's written a new book called The Victory Lab. In it, he opens a window on an aspect of political campaigns that few of us are aware of, yet all of us are affected by. I'm CNN's Steve Kastenbaum. Did you know that if you're a registered voter, the presidential campaigns probably have a file on you?
The part that we see on stage is more or less the same as it was in 1988. The part that's taking place out of our view has radically changed. I think we in the press have failed to keep up with that.
Eisenberg says campaigns have always put a lot of effort into figuring out who the undecided voters are and how their decisions can be influenced one way or another. But today, small armies of people are pouring over mountains of information about voters. They call it data points. Think of it as a campaign's version of creating your credit history report.
What credit rating agencies do is they collect all the information they can about you and collect all the information they can about the type of people who pay their bills on time or default on their bills and try to predict how much you look like the type of person who would do a certain thing. Political campaigns are doing the exact same thing. They're collecting lots of information about you. They're collecting lots of information to identify the types of people who vote, and the types of people who vote for Barack Obama, and the types of people who are pro-choice, and the types of people who care about gun control, and then looking for patterns. And it comes down to an individual probability, the same way a credit rating agency would. What is the likelihood that you will do what I want you to do?
What has changed in modern campaigns is the incredible amount of information we're all making available to them in the digital world just by surfing the web. Collect all that information, combine it with what they already know about you, apply some math, and Eisenberg says you can figure out a whole lot about an individual's probable voting habits.
What all this data and statistical modeling allows them to do is to very neatly sort out the people that I should be trying to talk to make an argument and the people I should be talking to change their behavior.
He's talking about the 7 to 9% of registered voters who are undecided and another group of people who may like one of the candidates but who aren't likely to go out to the polls on voting day.
So a lot of the science has focused on figuring out how you identify those people and how you get to them and what psychological devices you can use to motivate them to vote.
That's where Chris Talbot comes into the picture.
I'm a digital strategist with the Democratic Party, who used to work at Google, now help out a lot of Democratic campaigns think through digital media, digital opportunities, and how to get their message out online.
Talbot says your digital footprint gives campaigns so much more insight into who you are, how you may lean politically, and what messages resonate with you.
And when somebody activates online, if you will, when they put out their email address somewhere we can pick it up, we know that that person who is an offline profile now is also this person who's an online profile. That's the same person. Now we can put ads exclusively in front of that person.
Campaigns crave this kind of information because it allows them, like never before, to directly interact with individual voters, the voters they know can decide an election.
When you know the audience, when you know the group that you're trying to reach, suddenly an email address is just sort of like a, it's like an X on the treasure map to say, oh yes, this is one of those individuals.
How many profiles are we talking about? How many individuals are we talking about here?
I get to that, but it's millions. It's a lot out there. And again, the data points literally are in the billions.
So if this is the future of campaigns, a hyper-focused effort to influence the actions of a few million people based on their online habits, is this the beginning of the end for the grandiose political party conventions like this one in Charlotte? Probably not. Campaigns still need to motivate an army of volunteers to reach out to those few million undecided voters. And all that emphasis placed on the campaign narrative? Eisenberg says it's really not as important as it's made out to be.
A lot of the stuff we cover day to day has very little documented impact on who actually moves votes and will get elected in November. It's unlikely that a great line or a good speech or an exciting moment in the hall is the type of thing that's going to permanently budge a voter in a way that sticks with them until election day.
It does make for good TV, though. Steve Kastenbaum, CNN.
Yeah, let's be the yelling, screaming, going, hey, and then it gets turned over to the voters, and then we vote, and then it gets turned over to the Electoral College, and the Electoral College says, well, this is what we decide, unless Senate can challenge the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court challenges the President of the United States. So all those people out there on those floors and yelling and holding those signs and jumping around, good exercise, I guess. Here, Bill.
Uh-huh.
And let me say this in a minute. Ivers, that's all I'm going to say right there. After Labor Day sale on their bedding. And so you need to go to the sleep source right there, Ivers, and their beautiful sleep shop, and get your stuff. Now, don't forget, there's a lot of things they can do, like beauty rest and sealing, and these people know they can put together some great stuff for you because they're a brand source store where they buy in greater quantities. Now, here's another thing that's going on. The ergo part of the Tempur Ergo collection, the ergo part's the bed frame that moves up and down and sideways and, you know, does the whole thing. Well, they can, that they can put on sale, which they have. You can save up to $400 on that. And you really need to try it. And I mean this sincerely. Tempur-Pedic has, in that store, I would say Tempur-Pedic has, well, easily 10 styles, maybe more than that. And I would say more than that. And, but the interesting thing is, again, is that you're going to have a real firm bed if you like firm beds, but your a firm foam bed is going to be a whole new experience than a firm regular bed, the inner spring bed, the head inner spring bed. A firm medium is going to be different in that material than a regular firm bed is, and the soft is going to be the same thing. So it you need to test drive it, and you can take your time, and you can sleep for an hour on each one if you want to bed out there. So I would get the Ivers for this after every day sale and take advantage of it. They have free delivery, free setup, free hallway. They have financing available on Blueprint. They've got all the right things in all the right places right there. And it's on Short and Cross Street in the corner, in the left hand, you go left on the corner, and the dead end, and they're right in that corner. And you'll be glad you went there if you buy a mattress. Ivers Sleep Source. All right, Ivers. Well, let's see, where do we want to go from here? There's so much, you know, I've got to look at what we missed this whole week, and there's just so many things up on the line. It's like, holy moly. Okay, let's do today. What's the sum of today's stuff? What's happening locally in today's stuff? Okay. They had this marijuana farm out there at the county jail. And it gives a little more space. They had, until they built this new place, they had 74 inmates in a facility that was built a whole 43. And, you know, this whole thing about the prison thing, doing, you know, the drawdown and all that, and it's a shell game that's being played right in front of us, and is, you know, obviously obvious, and basically says, the state says, to, you know, you can't have too many people in a state prison. And so a judge said that, well, for the state, that's the best news in the whole wide world. Because then you say, okay, now we're going to take a lot of these guys and put them in jail. Now counties are going to have to pay to take care of these guys and gals. So it's sad. If you add that to this headline here, if you add that to this story, it's enough to say, have you say, okay, I'm done for the day. I'm putting the paper away. I'm going home. The report says healthcare wastes billions of dollars. I need to care. Paperwork and fraud cost the system. Are you ready? $750 billion a year. I have this terrible feeling we're going to be doomed by deceit. That's what's going to be in it. So it really worries me. All right, National Oceanography and Atmospheric Administration at NOAA, they found the recovery time for the coho salmon, because now they only go to two different rivers, and they used to go all over the place. So they're going to work on this new program and see if we can do that. There was a, at least if I can find this, I'm going to make sure I mention it to you. I'll find it. Oh, here it is. Wounded warriors and disabled vets will get a day at sea Saturday, courtesy of Anglers Anonymous, AmpSurf, and other government and private organizations. The first hook and line and sinker event will take 18 to 35 veterans fishing on the open sea beginning at 10 a.m. Organizers hope to make it an annual event. Experienced local fishermen will take the veterans out and return for an afternoon barbecue. Anglers from around the state are participating with help from the City of Moore Bay, PG&E, FFA, Kiwanis, and others, which is cool. So if you're a vet and you want to go out fishing, go fishing. Go for your wounded warrior. Go fishing. Go fish. TV station KYT sold to an outfit in Missouri. So that just means, you know, heads will all, people change, and it works. Okay. Yes, it means. This is something I always got to kick out. Here we have a picture of the paper in the good news section. And here, I don't know if I can say this right. Shorin Ryan Karate, International Hospital Black Belt, testing recently under the direction of Kiyoshi 7th Dan David Rogers. And I'll let you know something. Head instructor. Students were essayed from the first to fourth degree over more than 4 hours of endurance testing. So here you have these people coming to the black belt. So you look at this group of people. You know. There's some older people, you know. They just look like pleasant older people, you know, middle-aged, younger people. There's all kinds of people that can cause you a lot of hurt because you don't know. You don't know. I told the story. I was in St. Gabriel years ago, and the car was being serviced, so I went next door, and they had a thing. And I saw a guy walk in, and he was kind of like, I'll be very honest with you, it reminded me of Whitney from Popeye cartoons. And so I didn't think that much about him. And he came out in one of the suits with a black belt and proceeded to kick a bag that was about 18 feet in the air. And I thought, holy cow, somebody picks on that guy. They have no idea what they've just done themselves. Okay, so, hey, don't mess with people as strange to you, as Jim Croce said. At the main page of the paper today, we had just politics. Now here, I think I being dissed on this letter by Julie in Paso. Says Labor Day brought remembrance of a day when people took pride in their job and satisfaction of quality product. They spent time off in community and church groups, giving time and donations to the underprivileged and taking care of their own. In this time of talk, let's have appreciation for the ones who get the job done. I hope our children have the same pride in the job well done, the product well made, and the life well lived. If you consider the computer I'm trying to use, I do the best I can. So I just talk. I'm working at it. I'm working harder at it than most people have to work at it. Labels notwithstanding, organic junk food is still junk food. So here we had the organic, grapefruit is this nothing special, except it doesn't have all the stuff. So here they've listed this thing right here, so we can tell you right here. While organic farming methods help ensure healthy soil and ecosystems, organic standards do not regulate food products nutritional attributes, they said. Here's the thing we're saying right here. In other words, organic refers to how food is farmed, not what's in it. So they can have stuff that you really didn't think was going to be in your organic food that's still labeled organic. I don't know if we're, it became the buzz thing for a while, and then everybody got on board with it. And, of course, when everybody gets on board, the deceitful get on board, too. And so I don't know how this is ever going to straighten itself out, and people can understand it better. Speaking of which, a story here in the business section that said food co-ops brace for competition, because what's happening now is a lot more food co-ops are going to be able to try to compete with the Whole Foods Market and Trader Joe's, and they're becoming more organized, they're becoming more regimented in how they do things, so they're trying to get the big piece of the action like they want to do. Labor picture looking a little better, fewer people applied for employment last month. I don't know if they're still alive, that's what I remember. Amazon unveiled 4 new Kindle Fire tablet computers yesterday, including ones with larger color screens. All I have to do is go to Amazon, Amazon.com, and the first thing you'll see is all the new stuff. So in case you want to see, check it out. Check out what you don't really need to buy right now. Wait for another version to come out.
You can see it there.
See all the new models, all the shiny chrome, and all the happiness,
and the new computer stuff.
Hello, Bill Simmons Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Simmons Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Simmons Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Simmons Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service, and we'll find the right policy.
Good, because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Simmons Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande, or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo.
Hello, my name is Ivan Ulz. This week, the Trader Ivan Show will feature the Red Scare of the 1950s, as told from children's records. Were they innocent amusements for the kiddie crowd, or vicious propaganda tools to create a Soviet America? Listen in and decide for yourself. Saturday at 1:05 p.m. Sunday at 5:05. See you there, comrades.
Once again, my famous film, and it caused me nothing but embarrassment and mayhem. But I'm still going to make it work now. But I may not be able to. It's doing something I've never seen anything like this before. It's a brand new weirdness. It's ready. Okay. I'm ready when you're ready. Okay, here we go. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay. Let's try this one. Let's try and change it. 3, 2, 1. Nope. That one either. Let's try this one. Wait. Nope. We are going to hear another cut from Paul Simon's Graceland album, but apparently I've been thwarted in my effort. I've been thwarted. I hate that thwarting stuff. I hate when that happens. That thwarting. So I'm actually going to see if I can try again. Here, in a minute. I'll wait. Here's the thing right here. crash, and maybe because they're going to do helicopter testing on top of Sierra Vista's parking garage. So in the parking garage, they have a Gila paddy port thing, you know, where they can bring emergency situations in and fly emergency situations out. So they'll be tested over there. Now, I can't, I don't have the faith. I'd love to know how they would come up with a route that would disturb the least number of people with helicopters if you're going to land on the top surface of this garage. They seem to claim. They seem to claim it's possible. That's what I'm telling you about. They seem to claim it's possible. So I'm not sure when they didn't really say when they're going to do it. You know, a certain time of the day or certain, you know, like we'd rather have it during the weekday, or we'd rather have it on the weekend. So you're in a new town. You know, what would you like to have? What would be your drugs on that? So I mean, I don't have an answer, but I just don't know. Okay. Something's taking its time. I'm going to say that. Okay. Okay. Is there anything else you want to tell me about? One of the worst things we got. Okay, that was that stuff there. I heard that. All right, now, other things that are happening is Cal Poly, you know, they changed my gym. They did some new stuff in my gym. And so what they're saying is basically is that they're happy with it. And they think the change is going to be real good. Well, of course, they do, because the whole idea wasn't that you could charge more money. They're going to put front row seat, and you can charge more dough. And so anytime Cal Poly can charge more dough to anybody for anything, they're always very, very happy. So that's what happened there. So congratulations then to the happiness and joy that they're feeling over Launch and Amazing because of the way they did. I think we got it this time. Bam, do we have or not?
Stuff we missed all week, as a matter of fact. We're probably going to miss some leftovers because there's important things we can go to. Here's the thing. I would imagine this has already happened, but if the university wants to think they thought of it, that's okay. The ministers and Cal Poly president, Cal Poly Mary, Jeffrey Armstrong. So what they're doing is they're asking the students to go on Facebook and talk about Brett Olson, who's the student that's missing up near Chico when they're river rafting. And that maybe somehow, some way, more information will come out of that. Between his tweet and all that other stuff, I'm pretty sure that they're probably hitting him very good. It's a good idea. I'm not gonna think about it. You know, I think it's a good idea. And I think that maybe they'll hopefully find out more. But then again, this is interesting because that social media thing strikes again in the news. Strikes again in the news. And here it is. Here's one. They say that medical research needs the cell phone. Smartphones could quicken the pace of studies, help find treatments sooner. Now, if I'm not mistaken, isn't there some kind of program now where you can volunteer to let part of your cell phone or iPad or whatever be used when you're not online with it? And they do it for research. They have this huge data, you know, huge amount of information and memory they can use because they use all these different devices. And I know I've heard about this somewhere. I think this is kind of an offshoot of that idea. But that's a pretty fascinating idea, I say. So here you're minding your own business and your things running in your pocket, checking out tonsils and stuff. Kind of like it. Kind of like it myself. All right, now, the NFL, as you may know, is using a replacement refs right now because they haven't come to a common agreement. And so the question is, are they bad for business for the NFL, and is this a bad move? Does it show that the is doing a bad job and the whole thing? But anyway, so this was the opinion in the CNN about that.
CNN.
Replacement referee, those substitute refs.
Replacing referees will
no official refs, replacement officials.
Okay, so you get the point. It's the first weekend of the National Football League regular season, and the main story is that the games are currently being officiated by replacement referees. I'm CNN's Gavin Godfrey, and after this recording, the NFL is still using substitutes, after having locked out their own in June when the collective bargaining agreement ended. In a nutshell, the referees, who are part-time employees, want more compensation and benefits. Sounds like a good old-fashioned labor dispute. But some current and former players, see the organization and Commissioner Roger Goodell, seem to flex a little too much muscle.
Well, I think the ownership of the particular Commissioner Goodell definitely was got from keeping for a moment. He wants to move into the office, but also kind of have like a soft side, you know, maybe a couple of series, maybe draft and help the players and things like that. To me, overall, I think he wants to control and have complete control.
That's retired Pro Bowl punt returner Alan Rossum, who's been following the situation closely. He says he's been talking with players and coaches as well. Rossum says in matters like these, he tends to side with the players and officials over the organization and the CEO. But somehow, you're dealing with these issues all comes with Commissioner Goodell's job.
Players should be weary that replacement referees aren't going to be thinking about the same player safety and instituting calls that might injure or prevent an injury, if you will, okay? But from a CEO perspective, obviously he has to balance those kind of concerns with the financial concerns that are raised by the referees asking for more money in a different compensation package when they retire.
That's Dr. Thomas Smith of Emory University, who specializes in sports economics. In response to that, Rossum insists that the league is making money because of the product, which is the player, and the player is getting bigger and better and faster, so not all praise is due to Goodell, who Smith says shouldn't be judged as the NFL's top boss by the earlier player lockout and the current ordeal with the referees.
In spite of the fact that you had two lockout situations, the league continues to grow financially with respect to viewership. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's any given Sunday, anybody can win, and that's what you want from us. That's what you want from a sporting league. And so there's lots of ways you can say, you know, he's winning the game. And but if you want to look at it like this, you say, okay, that's, you know, 2 lockouts in basically, you know, less than 13 months. That's a bad track record, or at least a poor track record in the last 13 months.
One thing both Lawson and Smith could agree on, as far as the fan or consumer is concerned, is that this is and always will be a business.
They're asking to be compensated for the fact that they're not just out there for 3 hours, they're prepping for 30 hours to get the job done so that we at home aren't screaming at the TV saying, you blew the goal, right? They want some more money. And the NFL right now is not willing to give them the money that they're asking for. So the game must go on. So they've asked some referees from the college ranks to come in and sub. And that's where we are.
Kind of bothers me a lot that if a player goes out or if a player runs away, we don't recognize as, you know, he's greedy, he's selfish. But if I sign the same contract and the only amount I can be low, say I'm supposed to make $8 million, I'll pay a $2 million value, they're going to cut me. So, on the player side, we all look at it on both sides. Okay, I've seen this before, so I got to maximize my earning potential as soon as possible.
One could argue that in the NFL, the lockout referees are just like the players, employees looking to max out their earning potential. Gavin Godfrey, CNN.
Sam's Bissell's Palm Theater sure takes a sin for the soul. Chimney's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites and goes to see movie master Ernest Bieber at the overly high-pedestrian fair. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, and the prices of popcorn are the best in town. Because of being, the Palm is also the only solo pilot to run the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm, on Palm, cinema for your soul.
Center for your soul card and Jim Deacon at the Toronto Film Festival doing the big old film fest thing up in Toronto. So we're going to have Jim next Friday and be back, and we're going to be able to talk about all some new things. Let me tell you what's going on. There's a couple new ones at the Palm Theater right now. And starting this week, today, Cosmopolis is with Robert Pattinson, who plays a young billionaire who has many encounters and long move right across town to get a haircut. I'm serious. It takes place in Lindsay. And then he doesn't bite anybody in the neck. You know, there's no werewolves or anything involved in the vampires. Sleepwalker Me is also a Palm Three ticker. And this is a comic Mike Reviglia's struggles with relationship issues, plunging into a sleepwalking disorder and sees him acting out his nightmares. So that can be a little weird when you think about it. And continues the Untouchables, ex-comic hiring a caretaker. And the other one, of course, is Ruby Sparks, where Paul Dano plays an author who writes his perfect woman, and all of a sudden she appears. So that, go to the Palm this weekend, so then we can go to the Palm weekend tonight, go to night 4:15.
Right, 4:15 this afternoon, take off from work.
Say, I got a lot of busy things I gotta do. Got errands on. And then for the Palm. The Palm on Palm. We should see them and make sure that there isn't something this very second that we didn't know about till this very second. So here's some of the headlines. Saints player bans overturned. Airline hoax blamed on ex-boyfriend. Clinton labels Pakistani terrorists. The shipping crew held in Venezuela. I don't know if that's what that is. And, by the way, Bruce Harry's been deployed to Afghanistan. But, jeez, I will find Vegas in the city of Afghanistan. Great. Let's see what I got. The captain of the U.S. flagship and his crew were slated to give depositions to Venezuelan investigators Friday in connection with the arms trafficking accusation. Venezuelan authorities detained the captain of the shipping vessel Ocean Atlas. Since Wednesday, crew members said, the captain of 13 crew members are to give statements to investigators, according to the manager of the ship's custom brokers. The manager asked not to be named because of the sensitivity of the situation. Crew was detained on the ship, and authorities are holding the captain elsewhere. The manager identified the captain as Jeffrey Michael Reeder, 45, of Texas.
the official U.S. Embassy in Venezuela sent a rigorous crew, official reported 15, had been held in Venezuela for a while. So they said, they're saying that they thought that they had smuggled stuff. Well, then, yes. Yeah, I guess they're smuggled stuff. So now, we'll see. Now we have all these things like traditional treaties and all that kind of stuff. Who's in trouble? Who's going to do what to them and all that? So that brings me over. Oh, here we go. We have a way. Because we need to do this. Don't we really need to have police who break us silence? Come on. Admit it. Admit it. Let's see. He's probably going to say he was taking on pills or something. You know, he's on some kind of medication. And we have a bit of a way. We're going to say, that would do, right? After asking someone, do you have to feel lucky? Yes, sir. As far as statements, this is randomly improvised remarks of last week's Republican National Convention. Plaintiffs have told a California newspaper that Mitt Romney's campaign wasn't able to approve his speech since he wasn't sure what he was going to say until he walked out of the stage. They met most of the people, but I told them you can't do that with me because I don't know what I'm going to say. So I told Carmel Pine Cone, the Carmel Pine Cone, in the little paper from Carmel, Circulation 12. Eastman served as the AmeriCorps of that scene in the 1980s. So that's fascinating right there. So he said, you can't do it because I don't know what I'm going to say. And then when he said it, he didn't even know what he said after he said it, which made it even more kind of fun, a good time, sad my own. So I said, I'm going to get a gift, so I'll let him pledge. So that was kind of cool. And she goes through the still lost struggles and stuff for sure. Okay. There's one more story I'm going to take out. Well, let me see what this is. We have loads of people, loads of passive, right? Yeah. Some kind of scam that loads. The employee and employee scam. So it's just amazing. It seems that people come up with. I've always felt that, you know. So we're going to find out about this one. Maybe. Soon. And anyway. In 14 seconds.
But in fact, about the important role low-cost electricity from coal needs to play in our nation's economy, both now and in the future, visit AmericasPower.org today. Clean coal. Now's the time.
They thought they had a foolproof plan, but eventually it caught up to them.
It was a renovation. The deputies say was handcrafted by Lowe's employees. All this merchandise being used to help build their personal bank accounts.
It's a lot of money.
For months, deputies say they saw workers checking out with big money items, but paying only small ticket prices to their co-conspirator co-workers.
Oftentimes they were paying but only a soft drink and walking out with hundreds of dollars in their shopping cart.
Shopping carts full of expensive drills and saws and electrical equipment, all totaling $70,000, were all allegedly part of this carefully constructed scam that five employees had a hand in.
We had three accomplices that were cashiers, two that worked out on the floor, and the two that worked out on the floor would obviously fill their carts with high-priced merchandise and look for their cashier accomplices in order to go and check out through the register.
And when stolen and slid out the door, they allegedly sold it for cash on Craigslist.
So where did they go missing?
Grand theft charges and being a stolen property. We know that they were using this property to sell it on Craigslist or to people that they knew.
Lowe's itself eventually knew and helped build the case against its workers and helped install them behind some well-constructed bars. Never, as the slogan goes, stop improving.
We have four that were taken into custody. It was one that's at large.
That's funny. Never stop improving. I like that. That's good. Okay. I never stop improving. So they're gonna go away to the big house for a while. It's amazing how they do this scammy thing. I guess it was important to say that they bought a soda pop or something, but they bought one thing. So I guess I don't know what they had to watch. Yeah, anyway, pretty amazing. 15 minutes and somebody out there has got to figure out a ton. Okay, other things in the news. The wildfires are raging across the West Columbia River. Fire up in Washington. There's a big, huge fire up there. It's burned 1,500 acres. Calusa County, firefighters in Northern California, battling that fire. It's 11 square miles. And the San Diego fire is a 41-acre fire. It's 44% contained between 1,500 evacuees and allowed to return to Camp Williams. So at 8 night, we're doing nothing but it's hard. We're doing as much we can. Okay, the here's a picture today in the paper. The rover leaves a big old footprint because it went a few feet, and you know, that's exciting for NASA. And it shows it right here, Curiosity Rover. It's pretty amazing. Okay, but this was taken by, so now this was taken by a, and this is pretty amazing, something, but this was taken by a little satellite telescope. And it zeroed in on the Mars rover. So if you can zero in the Mars rover from out in the middle of nowhere, you can zero in your nose. So I tell you. Might as well tell you. Okay. Well, here's another one of these stories. Suspect accused of fatally shooting a CHP officer during a traffic stop on a Bay Area freeway and tested for mental health problems, his father said. Doctors diagnosed Christopher Boone Lacey as bipolar, but on lithium they were in a hospital stay after he suffered a psychotic break while attending San Francisco State University. And just on it goes. Poverty rate much higher for American single moms. And they're talking about the fact that how many moms in the 20s are having kids the past few decades. Of course, the births under women has increased to 41%, fastest growing centers in the 20s. They're more likely than poor people to face hardships such as food scarcity and ambition. It's one of the things that you can't really mean in this case. Where you go and get a low-paying job, because that's what you can get, but it pays minimum wage, and so once you have a low-paying job, you know, you're making minimum wage, now you're making too much money for any other kind of assistance. So then you say to yourself, maybe they might have a low-paying job. You don't know what to think. You don't know what to do. It's just whatever.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I've seen them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright blessed day, dogs say good night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
This is Tarkus G. The Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Baker.
Thank you. say she's crazy, she got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Well, that's one way to lose these walking blues. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. She was physically forgotten, and then she slipped into my pocket with my car keys. She said, "You've taken me for granted. Wearing his diamonds." And I could tell, is it everybody knows what I was talking about? Is it everybody you know exactly what I was talking about? Talking about diamonds on souls and shoes.
Souls.